Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Rollizer, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, and today's guest is none other than Jason Kanzler. Jason Kanzler is principal owner of Under the Sun Imaging, a company that specializes in using unmanned aerial systems, more commonly called drones, to produce photographic and high-resolution video materials for several industries, including cinema production, real estate, security, agriculture, engineering, and environmental. Jason is also a partner in USA Sidekick, an app company that works with the unmanned aerial systems community and regulatory agencies to promote safer skies for all manned and unmanned flight. Jason Kanzler, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, man. Good to have you. And I didn't say this in the bio, but I'll go ahead and say it now. Jason is one of my best friends on the planet. I've known him for years, and we've gone to church together for years. And despite the fact that I know him so well, I still actually like him. So I'm excited to have him on the program today.
Thanks, Robbie. I appreciate that. Good intro.
Oh, nothing but love for you, pal. Nothing but love for you. So certainly excited about having him on the program and talking about how the Lord has impacted his career over the years. And even though I know a lot about you, Jason, if you don't mind, take a minute or two to tell the audience a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. I'm in my 40s. I went to college at Pensacola Christian College. I grew up in a Christian home. Met my wife there at college. We have two kids, James and Sydney, Andrea, and the kids there. James is 11 and Sydney is 13, going on 20.
And aren't all teenagers?
Yes, they are. Yeah. So, entrepreneur of sorts, involved in many things, and currently involved in a couple of new startups, but, that's kind of who I am and where I've been in a short sentence, I guess.
Gotcha. What today exactly are you doing now? I know you got several irons in the fire. Tell us a little bit about those, the present day.
Sure. So currently I am a remote pilot for UAVs, which are unmanned aerial vehicles or drones, more commonly known. And so went through the process of getting my pilot's license to fly general aviation aircraft, manned aircraft, single engine. And because it was a requirement to be able to fly drones commercially. And so went through that process, took about a year or so. During that time, still doing some development work for a major company here in South Carolina that has residential, high-end residential communities. And so still involved in that part of it, but kind of branched out to doing the remote pilot stuff. And so in addition to that, part of my hobbies kind of came into play in this, that I was a reserve officer for many years, and a state constable. And, I've found that my heart, has really drawn me to, and the Lord has really drawn me to, the security field. And so trying to tie all those together, you might think, well, how in the world does all that work together? And sometimes I wonder the same thing, but Security on the side. I work in the church as a security director. Bringing what I've learned through the reserve program with the sheriff's office here in Greenville County, and then pulling that training in, and then bringing in the remote pilot drone operations. I work in the security field for site assessments and site security. And so it's interesting that I use all the marketing and graphic design skills that I first learned at college, as well as, all of the civil design, surveying and lot layout, things like that, all have its small piece, I guess, in what I'm doing now. And so, I don't know if that, it's kind of, if you look at it, it's there's not just one thing I can say I do. There's just multiple things.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, during that career journey of yours and all the ups and downs that you kind of experienced, what would you say? Tell us a story about what you would say is your worst career failure or downtime, bad time. And what was the lesson that you learned from that?
Well, if trying to think about a failure, I'm sure there are a lot of things that I have come short at doing. But I think trying to find one failure that has made an impact, a great impact, is hard for me to do. And I have to be careful how I say this, because I don't want it to sound the wrong way. But my temperament is such, and I think one of my greatest strengths is solving problems or finding solutions to problems. And because that's something that it's just how I think. That's how I do things, is that if there was ever a failure or something that came up, the easiest thing for me to do is try to find a solution. And sometimes that can be hard as a Christian too, because I feel that, maybe I can do it in my own strength. Right. And so if, what can be my greatest strength sometimes can be my greatest failure, in some sense that I can always try to find a solution for a problem. And I can look back at all the different career paths that I've taken, as far as, learning new things. Something has always spurred me to go in a direction, whether it was, a challenging, something that could not or did not seem to be surmountable. I've always been able to find a solution to that, and not necessarily on my own. That's the Lord has been leading in many different ways, and has brought me to where we're at. But I think that, going back to the greatest failure, I don't think I have a failure I can look back at that I haven't tried to find a solution for and have been able to walk away, which it can be different and looked at different ways from different people, but I think I look at things differently. And I try not to focus on failure. It's failure or challenges are just is something to be conquered. So if you feel that you've failed and you leave it there, then you always remember that failure. And I think that's part of, I don't like going back and thinking of things as failures. If I can't fix it, I don't even have a solution for that. Everything can be fixed. There's always something, there's a way out. And I've said that many occasions, and I don't know that it's easily understood, that statement, but there's always a way to, I don't know if that's just the way I was brought up or what, but I always feel there's a way out. There's a way to correct things. And so a failure to me would be something that could not be corrected. And I don't know that I've hit that yet, or I've made myself think that something couldn't be corrected.
Yeah, and I'm glad you shared that, because we all do have limits. There will come a day when,
sure,
when you will hit a limit, and we all will. But until that limit is reached, it's great advice to really analyze our own way of thinking, because you're right. Mm-hmm. So many of us automatically, when we hit our first roadblock, we start getting down, we start getting defeatist.
Right.
Just when one roadblock gets our way. But it is truly a pattern or habit of thinking that does take time to get into, especially if you weren't raised with that pattern of thinking.
Right.
To realize that, you know what, this is just an obstacle to overcome. And years ago, I heard someone say, I think it was Tony Robbins in an earlier life, said something like, there's no such thing as failure. There's only results. If you don't like the results,
right,
change what caused them, and then you'll have success on the other side. And if we can kind of get into a pattern of thinking to look at bad circumstances that way, then we will go a long way towards overcoming. And Christ tells us, for us to overcome, for us to persist, for us to be diligent. And that includes not giving up at the first sign of trouble. So I appreciate you sharing that life lesson.
Sure.
There.
Well, it's also on top of that. I mean, there's not a failure there. I do get discouraged, right? I'm not any different in that aspect. And the fact that there are times that discouragement comes, and sometimes it's quickly. When you first start something out, discouragement can come quickly. And then sometimes it waits a while before it comes out. But, having the comfort and knowing that the Lord is with you, He's directed your path this far. And that, I think that's what's been the biggest comfort when their discouragement comes, is that I would not be where I am today if it weren't for the Lord. And if He was not directing me here, then that's when I would be more discouraged. I don't think I could get out of that very easily at all if I thought that I brought myself to a place that the Lord was not. And so, I want to make sure that's clear, is that, I can't say that I've done everything the way the Lord wants me to be as far as going in career path or even daily walk. But I'm constantly brought back to that, especially when discouragement comes. It's kind of a checkpoint to say, all right, are you in the right place?
Yeah, and if I could piggyback off of that, just two thoughts, random thoughts that came to mind, because my personality is such that I get discouraged quite frequently. I can't explain it. It's just the way I've always been.
Right.
So two things that have really helped me a lot in recent years is, number one, to remember that this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If He gave me the breath of life today, I need to rejoice and be thankful for the fact I have another day to live and to try to make an impact for Him. And then number two, just remember that at the end of the day, we need to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything, and God will add to our lives what we need.
Right.
And the best analogy I know of how to put that into action is, so much of life's pressures come from us thinking the results of our labors are in our hands to obtain, and they're not.
Right.
Just like the farmer only has the power to plant the seeds, but
That's
must
right.
trust the Lord to grow the crops and to keep bad weather away and to keep insects away, etc. We need to focus on sowing whatever seeds in our workplace, in our businesses, whatever that we're in, and then we have to trust God for the increase.
Right.
And when you realize that it's up to you to do the seed planting, but up to God to give you the fruit, when you transfer that responsibility to the Lord, it removes a lot of the discouragement, because you learn how to trust Him.
Well,
and that's what enables us to get away from a lot of that discouragement.
Right. Well, I think, one time, I think when you look at it, the times that discouragements come is not necessarily when you're looking at the next moment, right? God says that take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. It's sufficient in today is the evil thereof. And so if you look at it and say, most of my discouragement comes when I look beyond today. I say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And it even here recently, there are times you look at the situation you're in and you say, all right, I can handle this moment, and tomorrow will come, but today I can handle this moment.
And that's a wrap on segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, "Once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and His glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work." Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to segment number 2 of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now let's get back to our interview with Jason Kanzler. How about your biggest career success? What would you say that is?
I would say it's a state of mind. I think success for me is that the whole idea of being able, knowing that there's a way out or there's a solution, my optimistic outlook on certain things. I can be pessimistic, just ask my wife. But it just, you know, Andre will tell you that certain things I'm pessimistic about. But when looking at life in general and things that come around, I try to see the good in things. And so even my parents will tell you that it's more of a, you know, I have a healing kind of personality. I want to make things right. It's very difficult for me to see tension and strife. And so it has its downsides, but and, you know, weaknesses that I have plenty. But I think the strongest success, I guess, in career has been has come my way because I saw the positive side of something. I can see something maybe that some others can't. And so if there's a roadblock in the way, then it's also, you know, there's an opportunity there. Why is there a roadblock in your career? It's because of, you know, maybe there's something that you need. You know, we talk about software and things that help you through life, you know, make things easier on you or better, you know, organize your life better. And so some of those things for me is trying when I see a problem. There's also an opportunity there to provide a solution to others. A case in point, you know, that I'm also involved with a company that does apps for phones, mobile devices, and we've started two apps here recently. One has been in place for about 3 years now, and it was an app that helps, you know, the sports fishermen go out and log their catches. And people that are, you know, the guys that want to do that for a living, anglers, have a rough time trying to find ways to track how their progress is, how fast do they catch fish, what are the locations they catch. And so I looked at that and along with the others there that have helped start that company, and said, all right, how do we put something together that makes it easier for them? And so, you know, even that, it's a solution. And so, you know, the second app that we have is to help pilots be able to fly under regulations from the FAA. They're required to submit notices to the FAA of where they're going to fly. And so it's very difficult for them to do it the current way that it's set up online. You can't be mobile or away from your office to do it unless you call in, and it's very difficult to call in and give them the information. So we developed an app that would actually go in and help them do that. And so it's solutions, I guess, are my biggest career success is anytime that I can find a solution and go from there. You know, as we discussed, you know, my career path is scattered. It looks like I've gone in 100 different directions. But bits and pieces of each one of those have created where I'm at today. And so, I guess the biggest, you know, success is, being able to learn from each one of those and putting it into what I'm doing currently, you know, whatever that is current. You know, I could be doing something totally different in 10 years. But the success, I would gauge my success in how I'm able to pull those things together. And so,
yep, I would say if I were to summarize that, your biggest career success really is a solution oriented mindset.
Right.
And that's kind of a recurring theme in our conversation here is about mindset. And I think that is so critical. I mean, you know, contentment is a mindset. Happiness is a mindset. Success is a mindset, all because we need to learn how to be content where we are and to trust the Lord's direction on how to get to the next step and to let Him direct our steps. And, you know, again, it goes back to what we said earlier. If you cringe, or if you collapse, I should say, at the sign of the first trouble, you know, you don't have a solution-oriented mindset. You're not going to get very far or do very much for the Lord in this life or in your vocation. So that's good stuff. And that's a pattern of thinking that has to be developed over time. Now, just so you can have a shameless plug, give me the names of the two apps real quickly and how people can find them. And then I'll put links to those on my website as well.
Sure. The first one, Nick Rubio was the president of the company, and he came up with the idea originally, and I was available to help him bring that from you know, an original idea to an actual app, and a privilege to be able to be a part of it. It's called Fat Sack Outdoors is the name of the app. And it allowed the fisher, the angler, to actually go out and log, even if they were not a, professional at it. They were able to take pictures and log each one of their fish catches and kind of keep a visual map even of where they were in the past and what they caught at those locations. And so it's a pretty neat program. Really enjoyed working with them on that. The second one was the UA Sidekick is the name of it. It's UA Sidekick, all one word. And it's the app that allows the pilot to actually file a NOTAM. It's called a Notice to Airmen, NOTAM for short, where they can go in and log those so that those regular pilots can see that they're flying a drone in a location that they may be flying through.
Good. And they can just download those from the App Store or something like that?
Absolutely. Or through the websites, respectively.
All right. Very good. Now, if it's different, and it may not be, but if it's different, what would you say is your number one business habit that drives your career success?
Persistence. I think what, and I could point you to several people that would, I have bugged, you know, it's biblical, you know, the neighbor came to the house and consistently knocked on the door asking for bread. Right. And, because of importunity, the owner got up and gave them, you know, something to eat. Right. So it's not that I took that to heart. It's just, I think a personal habit would be persistence. Patience is not, but persistence is.
Gotcha. Let's talk about books for just a second.
Sure.
Well, if you could recommend just one book other than the Bible, because we've established on the Career Callings Radio program that the number one book anybody should read on a regular basis is the Bible.
That's right.
So outside of that, what one book would you recommend to the audience and why?
Well, I think about this question here. There was a company that I worked for where the owner recommended a book, and I thought it was kind of corny. It's called Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles. The book was, it's centered around sales and knowing your client. And I think you'll see some of this come out, as far as my answers to the other questions. You'll see, reasoning for some of that maybe in this book, but, this book made an impact. You know, my first, inclinations about the book were wrong. By the time I got through it, it's almost like an awakening of sorts where you see, where you may have gotten a no from a client, this kind of tells you why. It makes you think that, you know, clients can not just be clients or customers. They can be raving fans of what you do. And sometimes it's just, a percentage of effort more that you have to put into it to make that happen. But the return is unbelievable. And, if we all could make our customers raving fans, or our clients or people we deal with, you know, even our family members, if we can make them raving fans, what kind of effort does it take to do that? You know, I tend to believe that it's not that much more effort to do that than to just make them happy. Why not make them raving fans? So,
yeah, that's good. Well, I have certainly been blessed by our conversation today, and I know other people have been as well. So, Jason, if somebody wants to reach out to you and follow up with you on maybe your applications that you talked about or your drone business or anything like that, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
They can reach out through the website for the company I have. It's underthesunimaging.com. That's all one word, underthesunimaging.com. It has my phone number on there as well as kind of what I do. So that would probably be the best.
Fantastic. And of course, as always, I will put a link to that website onto the webpage that goes with today's broadcast. So Jason Kanzler, thanks so much for being part of today's edition of Career Callings.
Well, it's good to be here, Robbie. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. If you've been blessed by my conversation with Jason Kanzler as I have been, then please go to careercallings.net/radio to get a copy of today's broadcast, plus all the extra bonus material in my podcast version of the interview that we could not fit onto the on-air version of the program. Again, that's careercallings.net/radio for today's edition of Career Callings. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Next question, how are you using your career right now to impact others for Christ?
Well, as we discussed before, I think, I had the privilege to work with law enforcement and have a burden or desire to be a part of that even now. And so I take that into the church ministries. One thing that I do is being a part of or director of the security for the church that we attend. And one thing I take to heart, and one of the things that has been a big thing to me, was helping other churches understand the risk that are out there. And this is, you know, we're talking about Christians with Christians, and I think even though it may not be too directly to the lost, I think an impact that I enjoy the most at this point is providing solutions for churches in the security field, knowing how to protect their members and have a safe place to worship. There are many different denominations that I'm able to touch or reach because of that desire to help others, and so that's one way is helping with that, and then another is day-to-day interactions with clients. And so, you know, I fly drones, do marketing material for clients, builders, real estate agents, people who are looking for property to buy. We do scouting and things like that with the drone as well. And those are sometimes intimate moments with these people that, they're sharing something that they do with you, and they want you to be able to help them share it with others. And so that opens a large door into a window of your clients and customers, where conversations, can be had about, creation and what is it actually that they're selling? Is it, the tremendous view, who created that view, and, the ability to, live and work in a certain area, there's so many different ways that can lead into what our Savior has done for us, and what are we actually looking at? That view to sell that house is not man-made. That's something that the Lord has created, and I'm always amazed. I love taking pictures. That's something that I enjoy, and I think one of the main things or reasons for that is that. I'm always reminded that, it's a lot bigger than me. I try to capture a moment, that kind of tells it all. And very seldom can you tell the complete story with a picture, but, that also tells us how small we are, when looking at something like that, who created that, and how in the world could we be where we are at today without a creator, someone who could marvelously create, humans, life in general. And so I guess that marvel and that the ability to show the best of things, to clients kind of leads into discussions that I really enjoy when talking about the Lord.
Yeah. It all goes back to being ready to give an answer to those around you for the hope that is in you, and being able to drop you know, thoughts like that while you're having those conversations in business is part of that process. Absolutely.
Sure.
Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith specifically in the workplace? And if so, tell us that story and tell us how you reacted to it.
It's interesting, the career path. I can almost point to every instance, with the exception of the first one, that I worked actually for somebody that was a Christian or was already in the ministry, in one way or another. And, looking back, I guess at each one of those, it's amazing that, my wife has not had the same experience with her work experience, but in my instances, most of them have been Christian, centered. So either the owner or those that I work with were Christians already. And, sometimes what could be interesting is that those challenges to your faith may be more real in a situation. I've found that, sometimes it is harder to be a Christian when you're surrounded by Christians. People that are Christians sometimes, you know, I kind of equate it to Christian schools. It can be in Christian schools. Sometimes it's harder to be a real Christian. And it's because you're surrounded by that. The converse can be said as well. It's just, it's odd that when you're surrounded by that, the tendency is that, this is okay. We can do this. We're all Christians. We understand, we don't have to be a Christian here. Maybe. And so, there have been a few instances where that's the case, where things presented itself, differently than it would have been in a more secular atmosphere. If you don't drink and you go to work with people that do, generally they understand when you don't. Sometimes you could be faced with a situation where you work with Christians that do drink, and then you're struggling with that. Am I going to be too good, for them? That's a long road there, me telling you about, just to get to the fact that those challenges. Yeah.
Just to make sure I'm understanding right, what I'm hearing you say is that the challenge to your faith, a little verbal dyslexia there. Yeah. The challenge to your faith is that when you're surrounded by other Christians, you may not have as much opportunity to be a testimony to those who need to have access to your testimony. Is that what I'm hearing?
It can be a challenge. That can be a challenge. And the challenge to let your faith slip. I don't have to be a real Christian here, or I don't have to be on my toes. And it's a slight.
Because I'm not under as much scrutiny.
Right, from exactly. The other people. We're all Christians here. We understand, right? But. Yeah. And I understand the different, the opposite can be true, where you have people that are just, that are sold out for the Lord, and they generally encourage you. And so I think there's two sides to that. But I think in secular service, not necessarily maybe in ministry, that could be more true, where maybe if you're in a secular business, and you are around Christians, that sometimes that can be more of a challenging atmosphere versus encouraging.
I'm gonna say that the solution to those issues that you just raised is once again the solution of mindset. The theme of this interview has been mindset, and what we need to do as Christians is remember that ultimately we're not comparing ourselves to those around us. We're comparing ourselves to Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that we always ought to be on our toes,
right,
regardless of who we're around, because we're on or under scrutiny from the Lord himself. And
right.
He is gazing upon us each and every day. And he is assessing whether or not we are obeying his commands and seeking his kingdom first. And if we can kind of change our mindset from comparing ourselves to those people around us to comparing ourselves to the Savior, that may help motivate us to not slip as much, and to also be the testimony we need to be to those who are indeed not saved. So it's an interesting faith challenge. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's not one that we've ever talked about on the show before, but it's a real one. It's definitely a real one, no doubt. Shifting gears real quick, let's talk about habits for a minute or two. Sure. What would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
It goes back to that there's not a problem that can't be solved. It's that mindset that goes into saying, this can't be the final answer. Let's put it that way. I don't accept that. And it's part of me that says, you know, I'm here for a reason. There's gotta be a reason that I'm at this spot in my life. It's not just random, right? There's a reason. Multiple factors have brought me here. The primary being that the Lord has, you know, hopefully the Lord has brought me here, and I haven't gone here on my own, right? We've discussed that before. I think that, you know, being able to rely that the fact that the Lord's brought me here has given me more boldness in knowing that the problem can be solved. But, I guess that habit, whether it's based totally on the Christian faith, I would like to say that it's totally that, but I think it's beyond, not beyond that. I think that's the major part of it is that, you know, the Lord has brought me here. There's a reason, there's a higher calling, and I may be a small part to it. You know, this can't be the end, or the problem cannot, you know, is not one that cannot be solved. So mm-hmm. I would say that may be a habit. The habit is what comes out of your mindset, is continuing. I don't want to say give up. That's what I constantly go to.
Sure. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So, you know, having had some entrepreneurial endeavors in your own life and still in the midst of them, what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
Well, I think it comes down to work, your work ethic. If you find yourself in a spot where there's nothing to do, just work. Go back to the fact that you'll find when things start slowing down and you wonder, you know, all right, have I made the right decision? I think inactivity is probably one of the biggest hurdles, for me and for others that start new businesses, trying to get things turning where they just won't turn. I guess what I would recommend or give as advice is that, you know, just go back to work, figure out what it is that, you know, if there's something that is, causing there not to be success in what you're doing, then go back and find out what it is. Don't just let it stop you there. Go, work. Your work ethic is going to be what keeps you, your persistence. I bring that back into it. You know, just if there's a no, you know, is it really a no? What is it that you're finding that, is causing the problem? Sometimes just understanding your client, makes all the difference. You may have the whole path planned out, and your client, can't see that path. It's not what they're, you know, that's not the direction they want to go in. Generally that's communication. Go back and work at it. Find out what it is, you know, that caused that negative answer to happen, and try to approach it from another direction.
Yeah, one of my previous guests has put it this way. I keep hearing you say persist, 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 and that's fantastic. That is so key. What he said was, "I'm just too stupid to quit." So I've remembered that and used that many times since he told me that. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what one piece of career advice would you give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
I would say look beyond what they presently see as important. Write out your goals. See how many of them will still be viable in 10 years. You may have 40, 50, 60 years left in life, if you're blessed. You know, I was caught up in what was happening you know, at graduation and things like that. It's just that consumed me, just what was happening then and now. And some of the decisions I made were based on the temporal things that really had no effect on me 5 to 10 years down the road. And so I'm not saying don't look at things that are happening then, because you need to enjoy the time growing up, enjoy it, but also have, you know, goals. Write out your goals. Look at something that may still be in effect 20, 30 years from now, because that will come quicker than you think.
Mm-hmm, definitely.